Now it is Friday. It is 11:30 and I'm joined in the studio by author and self-help guru, Peter Jones. Peter has got 5 books to his name, 4 self-help books and his debut fiction, The Good Guy's Guide to Getting the Girl. Besides writing, Peter gives inspirational talks about how to be happy, along with writing his blog and reviewing his favourite films. All the lovely is peterjonesauthor.com. You can find out about Invisible to Irresistible, how to do everything and be happy, how to eat loads and stay slim, how to start dating and stop waiting, and the new improved The Good Girls, The Good Guy's Guide to Getting the Girl. Look, nearly got there.
We'll edit that bit.
No, we won't. I won't edit that. I'm going to leave it in. What did you... I just have to tell you what
that
Peter just said.
That takes 10 years to say that.
Wait, 8% funnier. I didn't even get to say that.
Okay, go on.
New and improved and 8% funnier.
Yes.
What did you say to me earlier? Just the wrong thing to say to a radio presenter before they come on air. If I worked anywhere else, what did you say?
we were discussing a different, completely different radio station.
Yeah.
And you, because you know, your boss had said to you, I'm surprised you hadn't been snapped up by And I said, if you wouldn't last 5 minutes, you'd be fired within about the first week. But that was because.
Because I'm not formulated, that's what you mean.
No, you're not. You're kind of, you know, you're a little bit edgy. Look, you know, you like to sort of like keep your guests on their toes.
Yeah.
So that's why you wouldn't. You know, and I think so. It's a compliment. It was a compliment.
Don't
really.
Look at me in those pleading eyes. Now we're here to talk about. No, he's pleading at me at the moment. You've got to say a very good afternoon or good morning, rather, to your agent.
Who? Hello, Peter. Peter Nightingale.
There we go.
There you go. Because she's listening, apparently.
Yeah. That's a good name, actually. You wouldn't think, but I bet she gets that a lot. People saying, thinking she's a guy.
I don't know. It's not a question that's actually come up during our conversation.
But it's
PETA.
I can't even spell that stuff. Anyway, moving swiftly on. Now, you are an author and a self-help guru.
Yeah, well, you gave me the label of self-help guru. I've never called myself a self-help guru. But since you've called me a self-help guru, there was a blog post came out this morning that somebody had written about their struggles with depression. It was an excellent blog post. And they said, I read a book by Peter Jones, self-help guru. And I thought, yeah, I know. Yeah. It's spreading.
Gets about there. Now, if we go back to when you... because there's loads of people out there that always want to write a book. And I had an author in here yesterday who's got her debut. And she's actually got a debut book. And then she's got another 2 coming out. But we were talking about the pressures of writing because she's got children and stuff. So when did you write from being a very young boy? Is that something you did at school or it wasn't something
yes.
you did?
Yes. One of my earliest memories, really, was kneeling on my grandmother's living room carpet and she would have given me a few sheets of A4 paper and I'd fold them in half and then take a stapler and staple all the way down one side to create like a spine. And then depending on whether the book sort of sat, you know, landed on the floor that way or that way, whoops, that determined whether the book read from left to right or right to left, and I would start writing a story and drawing the pictures that went in that story. And then when I ran out of pages, the story would come to a rather abrupt end, at which point it was distributed on a read and return basis. So yeah, I used to write a lot.
Have you got any of those?
No, what a shame, hey. It would have been nice to have kept those. Yeah.
A little frame and one indoors, couldn't you?
Yeah. And then I started going to sort of like creative writing classes in my late teens, early 20s, here in Brentwood, actually. And I did that for a couple of years. But I actually got put off because the creative writing teacher who wasn't really a big fan of my writing, because I used to write very serious sort of science fiction back then. And she used to set us homework. And one night she set us a poem. We had to go and write a poem. And I hate poetry. I've never really made a secret of the fact that I hate poetry. So but I wrote this poem. And it's a funny poem about why I hate poetry. Anyway, she absolutely loved it and said that I should stick to poetry and forget about writing science fiction. And that more or less killed my writing ambition from then until about 30-something. And because I came home one day and discovered that Kate, my wife, she'd been sorting out some papers and she'd come across my short stories and my poem, and she said to me, "I like these short stories," because she used to read an awful lot, you know, a novel a month or something like that, and she did like science fiction as well. And she said, "I like these short stories, you know, I've read better, I've read worse." She said, "But this poem I absolutely love," and I was like, "Oh God, you know, somebody else who thinks my poems are, you know, funny and, you know, good." And she said, "But what you ought to do is you ought to take the humour that's in the poem and put it into your stories."
Yeah.
And That's what my creative writing teacher should have said to me all those years earlier, because I probably would have been 10 years, you know, ahead of the game if she'd said that. And so that's what I started doing, kind of.
It shows you what you know, how important teachers are to children, and how, you
yeah,
know,
it does.
Because if they say the wrong, because you always remember school and you always remember the good teacher and yeah. you always remember the bad teacher.
Yeah.
And if they say the wrong thing at the wrong time, yeah. it can really disrupt. And even if you're older and you're going to, you know, you want to, I don't want to try and do pottery, I want to try and do yeah. something else. If somebody actually, you know, doesn't give you the support or encouragement,
yeah.
you just lose it.
I also think as well, what it shows is that the importance of finding your voice. You hear that a lot in writing circles, you know, what is your voice and all that sort of stuff. But basically what it means is, you know, finding your niche, if you like, finding what you're good at. Because once I started putting humour into my writing, yeah, it started to come to life. It was a lot more interesting. And I've never really turned my back on that since.
And what was the first? So you got the sci-fi book, which we're never gonna make.
No, they were just short stories.
Yeah, you're not gonna worry about that.
Never, they'll probably never see the light of day.
Well, you could be like Asimov. I can't say his name.
Yeah, Asimov.
Could be like, he did short stories. I mean, look, got I Am Legend. You got all that, like The Matrix. Yeah. I think, or a couple of others are made into
that's
films.
True.
I Am Robot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, maybe one day I'll go back to science fiction, but do something. You know, if I did, I'd do it more in the way that I write at the moment. So it would still be humorous. No, actually, what happened? What happened, how I got writing again, or that, you know, was around about 10 years ago, where me and Kate were sitting in bed one Sunday morning, and she was reading the morning papers, and she used to like reading the Daily Mail, because she could get, you know, she's from Northern Ireland, and she could get really worked up about stuff, you know, and the Daily Mail is really good if you like getting worked up about stuff. And I don't really like the Daily Mail very much, sorry about that, Daily Mail. And so I was sitting in bed doing nothing. She said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Nothing." She said, "Why do you, you know, read the supplement?" I read the supplement. I don't want to read the supplement. She said, "Why don't you go and get your laptop and do some writing? You could write about, you know, that daft idea of how you always thought you were going to meet Kylie Minogue." Because, you know, I went through my 20s thinking I was going to bump into Kylie Minogue. Actually, what I thought would happen was that Kylie Minogue would break down outside my house and pick my door out of the many available to come knocking and saying, "I've broken down, my mobile phone's just run out of juice, and can I come in?"
And do the locomotion with you.
Yeah, well, you know, could I use your phone? And I'd waft her in with no idea that I even knew who she was, and I'd make her like a calming beverage, like a chamomile tea or something like that. And I'd come back in.
That's a bit suspicious to me. Don't drink that.
I'd come back into the lounge and, you know, and she'd still be recovering from the shock of being told that, you know, they couldn't get to her in under an hour. Yes, they know who she is, all that sort of stuff. And she'd say, you know, how the showbiz sort of business is, you know, it's getting a bit, it's sort of lost its sort of, like, you know, charm, really. She's thinking of getting out, and, you know, and this is lovely tea, so nice to meet somebody else who likes chamomile, and could I just hold her because she's really in need of a hug right now.
Your voice went a bit low when you said that. Do you realise that?
I know, that's because I was there.
Right.
In my head, I was there. Anyway, I told this to Kate, and she said, "Why don't you write that?" So I wrote that down. And after she'd finished sort of like getting angry about what was going on in the world, she said, "Come on then, read me what you've written." So I read back this, just this little piece I'd written. And she'd roared with laughter and said, "Yeah, still funny, I still like it. And that would make a really good opening chapter for a novel." And I was like, "Oh, what novel?" And she said, "The one you're going to write." I said, "But I just was killing time." She said, no, you should turn that into a novel. And so I started. And then 10 years later, I managed to, you know, that had blossomed into a full-length book.
Now, we're going to be talking about the book, The Good Guy's Guide to Getting the Girl. I've said it right. Look at that.
Yeah,
it only takes me about 15 attempts.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with more Peter Jones. We're going to talk about his new book and also the self-help books as well, because you've got How to Eat Loads and Stay Slim, which I always read as How to Stay Slim. Like, what is it?
How to Eat Everything.
I said How to Eat Everything and Never Gain Any Weight. I was like, well, give me a copy of that book straight away. So we'll be back with Peter right after The Fine Young Cannibals.